control. Long live WBAI.
This is listener-sponsored, locally controlled WBAI New York.
Hi, this is Jerry Stiller. You are listening to WBAI New York 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. Where are my keys? Anybody see my keys? Who took my keys?
Is radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top of the line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. All okay, okay. We went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It's probably about 5 a.m., and I think it's going to be a super soaker coming out of the sky as you hear this on the air. You're listening to all, oh, he shouldn't have trusted Trump to behave. Radio WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear, and a hearty hello to our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be on this Martin Luther King Day weekend.
Yes. Monday is the event, and this is a long weekend for a lot of people, unless you're somewhere in the deep south. Oh, God, we won't get into that right now. Well, yes, we're going to talk about various things on this program, and you can find out maybe a little bit more about some of that by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can look around up there and see what's happening. On the left-hand side of your screen when you get there, you will see a navigation frame that says at the top, latest back of the book program links. And you click on that and you'll get to the web page for this morning's radio program. The WBAI website and the archives seem to be working all right as we record this program. This is our 162nd pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. If things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program cannot be as up-to-date as a live program, but this is what we have to do in these dangerous times. the top story of the week in several different universes is, since last week, we have rocketed up to the utterly amazing total of 124 followers on Twitter, or X, or whatever it's called right now. Oh, everybody in all of those universes is shuddering at the huge number of 124 followers. People can hardly believe it. The next regular WBAI local station board meeting will be held on Wednesday, February 14th, 2024 at 7 p.m. Oh, it'll be our Valentine's Day LSB meeting. I'm sure there will be lots and lots of love at that meeting. That meeting will be held on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. We had a local station board meeting this past Wednesday night. We had a minute of silence for producer Ralph Pointer, who was also a member of the LSB. Actually, he was in the hospital for the first meeting of this LSB. This is the 13th LSB. And he was in the hospital for that meeting. And then he passed away on December 25th. And so we had a minute of silence for him. We also, at that meeting, determined who was going to run for seats on the Pacifica National Board from WBAI last Wednesday. This is actually rather important stuff. This is, you know, a lot of the stuff that the local station board does is not exactly earth-shattering. It's, you know, sort of, some of it's BS. Some of it's just about some people posturing and all of that. However, this is actually important stuff because the Pacifica National Board is the board of directors of the Pacifica Foundation, and the Pacifica Foundation owns WBAI and the four other radio stations in Pacifica, in our network. And so what happens on the Pacifica National Board is important to the future of WBAI. And there are people in Pacifica who are not fans of WBAI. And so, oh boy, it's important that we have our representation up there. We have six candidates for three seats for listeners on the board. And there is one staff seat for on the Pacifica National Board from each station. And so that's already occupied by Sean Rhodes, who does a program here. In fact, he did a program a few hours ago on this radio station. He comes on well before us. And so Sean is automatically reelected because he's the only one eligible, because you have to have spent a year on the local station board before you can become a director. And the only other person who's been on the only other staff person who's been on the LSB for a year or more is me. And I don't want to go on the Pacifica National Board because it has been known from time to time that I do what back in school days was referred to as ranking them out on occasion. I don't always see eye to eye with the Pacifica National Board. And sometimes I am not so tolerant of the shenanigans that go on there. So I don't want to be on that. Besides which, I'm the treasurer of the local station board. I might as well keep doing that. So Sean Rhodes is in. But we have six people vying for three slots on the board as listeners. And we'll see how that all goes. Some people wanted, you know, all sorts of strange things about how to vote on this and to give it to a person who would then calculate it all up. And, you know, instead it's going to a service that will do this for us. That should work out okay, I think. At this meeting, speaking of me being treasurer, for the first time in a couple of months, I got to give a treasurer's report. And one operative of the so-called Justice and Unity campaign tried to talk over the report as I began. There are people who really just reflexively do things that are counterproductive. And why do that? Why try to mess up the treasurer's report when people want to hear about the situation with money as regards to WBAI? Oh, well, I don't know. By the way, if you go up to my website, glib.com, glib.com, you will see at the very front of it, treasurer's reports, and that's a link. And you can read the treasurer's reports. You can read more than 10 years of treasurer's reports up there. So you can read them, and you can even listen, I think, online somewhere to hear the oral report that I made from all of that. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention is putting out information on the death toll from the COVID-19 pandemic again. It's up on their CDC website. They say that as of their last reading, the death toll in America from COVID-19 was 1,167,210. Which is 2,092 people dying from COVID-19 over this past week. So the death rate has held pretty much steady this past week. It's only several people up, although, of course, if you were one of those several people extra who died this week instead of last week, this would be of great import to you and probably to the families of those people as well. In any event, this death rate is pretty steady at this point in time, but it's at 2,000, more than 2,000, and that's not trivial. Plus, also, people are getting the flu and COVID-19 at the same time, which has got to be really miserable. And, oh, Jesus Christ. And if you're older, it can be life-threatening. I say as an older person. And the winter season usually sees an uptick in all infectious diseases, partly because a lot of those diseases can't stand heat and humidity, like influenza, that virus, at about 80 degrees Fahrenheit and just ordinary humidity at that range. It comes apart, literally comes apart, and the humidity tends to attach to it and make it fall down to the ground. If it's running around on your shoes, it's not going to get into your nose where it can cause an infection. So that's why in the summertime we don't get a lot of influenza. But it's wintertime, people are indoors, breathing all over one another, and so it's coming up, and a lot of people are getting sick with this stuff. Oh, boy. On top of that, some people are oblivious to COVID-19 because they think that the pandemic is over. The pandemic is clearly not over. Pickles of the North and I are still keeping our masks on. We have gotten our new shots. We've gotten our latest COVID-19 vaccinations. We've gotten our vaccinations against the flu. And so we're doing what we can to avoid getting any of these terrible diseases which can kill us. A program note, we are again recording this program in our bedroom instead of our living room. I still haven't learned how to fix the HP 2200 printer. Oh, gosh, this is bothersome as hell. And what's also happening is I have to, in this position, lean over to the microphone. And it's changing how my voice goes at times. So if you hear my voice changing, one of the reasons during the program why my voice gets a little gravelly or something is because I have to lean over to the microphone. We haven't found a better way to do that. Oh, well. So sorry if I sound a little this way and that way at times on the program, but if I have to lean over, it causes the voice to get different. At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. She is Radio's Pickles of the North, and I'm R. Paul Martin. Of course, it's winter. And winter means, well, these days around here, winter mostly means rain, which I think some of you are experiencing as you listen to this going over the air. And rain and snow and ice are something we run into in the winter. Snow and ice, not so much anymore, but Radio's Pickles of the North has a few things to teach us about snow and ice.
Yes, I do, R. Paul. And my first little excerpt is from the book Weather and Illustrated History. And each chapter is only a page long. This is a wonderful book, sort of about the history of weather from the beginning of the world. This chapter is about 1818, Watermelon Snow. In 1818, British naval captain Sir John Ross led an unsuccessful expedition aimed to find the fabled Northwest Passage over North America. By the way, oh,
the death toll from those things, from various people, is just rather amazing, including Franklin and his whole crew.
Well, they kept trying over and over again, and now, of course, you know, since the Arctic has largely melted.
Certainly in the summer,
yes.
It's all water now.
Yes. Anyway, but we digress. Confused by complicated geography, he turned back. Sailing along Greenland's west coast, he made a far quirkier discovery. Distinctively pink snow could be seen on the white icy bluffs. Ross stopped and took samples of the snow, which he brought back to England, as water, of course. On December 4th, 1818, the Times of London covered the discovery with some skepticism. Captain Sir John Ross has brought from Baffin's Bay a quantity of red snow, or rather snow water, which has been submitted to chemical analysis in this country in order to the discovery of the nature of its coloring matter. Our credulity is put to an extreme test upon this occasion, but we cannot learn that there is any reason to doubt the fact as stated. Pink snow has been described by scholars as far back as Aristotle, but now scientific analysis was possible. Ross proposed the pink color was caused by debris from iron-rich meteorites, but a Scottish botanist, Robert Brown, suggested that species of algae were the culprit. Brown turned out to be correct. What is now commonly called watermelon snow has since been found in snowy regions from Antarctica to Utah. The red snow condition appears in late spring and summer as dormant algae springing to life when thin layers of meltwater form and are bathed in sunlight. The algae are green but produce red pigments as a kind of natural sunblock against harmful wavelengths of light. The addition of color to the snow speeds melting, as sunlight that would reflect from a white surface is instead absorbed. A study published in 2016 by German and British scientists found that algae darkened surfaces on glaciers in places like Greenland increase melting sufficiently that the effect needs to be considered in models used to predict the impacts of climate change. Now, that was a report from 2016. This book was published in 2018. Well, there's an article on the CBC's website, the Canadian Broadcasting Corporation's website. It was published January 8th, 2024, by Wallace Snowden. New study investigates threat of watermelon snow to mountain glaciers. And according to this article, this is regarding an ecosystem of algae, bacteria, and fungi. Fungi, is that how you say that? Fungi.
Fungi, I think, yeah.
That makes glacial snow turn pink. It blooms in the summer in mountain ranges, on mountain peaks, glaciers, frozen lakes, and ice valleys, all stuff that they knew as far back as, you know, that original report that we read from the book. Well, this article reports that a study published in Science Advances by senior author, algae researcher, Lynn Quarmby of Simon Fraser University shows the dark pigmented snow contributes to glacial melt, but the big threat to mountain glaciers is global warming. The article states that the watermelon snow, when it melts, releases water and nutrients into the soil, and an algae called Chiamydomanus nivalis blooms, quote, relying on photosynthesis. The bloom acts as a carbon sink, absorbing CO2 from the atmosphere, unquote. The Science Advances article calls this a positive feedback loop. The research was done on watermelon snow fields in northwestern North America, Alberta, British Columbia, North Alaska, Idaho, Montana, and Washington State. Due to global warming, concentrations of watermelon snow are getting smaller. So what was at first, even as a few years ago as 2016, was thought to be something, oh, it's contributing to global warming, it turns out, oh, this is something that was acting, as they said, a carbon sink, which is a good thing, since we're still putting carbon out into the atmosphere.
Yes, climate change is happening, and we're going to hell, folks. And, of course, Pickles of the North is of the North, and you're familiar with all sorts of things related to ice and snow. I remember one time, the male ex and I, in the 70s, we took a long vacation. He was off from school. He was a school teacher. And we took a long vacation for the end-of-year holiday, and we drove up to Montreal. And we went from Boston to Montreal, going through, like, you know, New Hampshire and Vermont and then into Canada. And a thing that I noticed for the first time in my life was there was some snow, some ice, that was blue, a very nice-looking blue. A blue that I said, geez, if you could get like a jewel that looked like that, you could sell it for a whole lot of money. And I don't know, I'm not sure what the hell that type of ice is, but I know it's something that happens to the ice itself. I don't think there are any inclusions in it. I don't think there's stuff in it. I think it's just the interplay of how solid the ice is and the light that's hitting it. But it was a very interesting look to that blue ice.
Yes, and of course, the watermelon snow is not something that we had where I grew up, because that is something where you need a big mountain range. And all the places that they did the study in, you're talking about big mountain ranges there with glaciers. I mean Quebec, geez. Quebec is sort of built on what the glacier didn't scrape away.
Yes.
You know, so, gosh. Because you got the provinces made up of the Canada Shield, which is just rock with some very little soil on the top.
Yeah.
Not the best for, like, you know. Well, you can live off the land if you know how, but
up there is actually, I think, the epicenter of the last glacial age.
Mm-hmm.
For North America, that's where it really came out from, because
yes,
what happens is the snow falls, and if all the snow melts before the next winter, nothing happens, and it's just, you know, just goes on. But if not all the snow melts, and then the next winter it snows again, that snow goes on top of it, and if that keeps going on for a long time, you start making glaciers. And studies have shown that the glaciers that were over North America radiated out from someplace in Quebec. So, yeah, they got a real epicenter of all that there. But you're sort of very familiar with these kinds of things. You even told me something about sugar snow once.
Well, sugar snow, according to my mother, is the that wet snow that is very shiny, when it falls. It's very shiny. You have snow that is almost like a hard crystal, which I would think would be the sugar snow, but apparently I was wrong. Because I thought, wow, that really looks like sugar, but Mother says no. So, and I trust her knowledge because she has encountered far more types of snow than I ever had, you know, being a child growing up in the 1930s out in the country. But this was very interesting to read about the positive feedback loop. That's something that could be detrimental, actually is not, especially given under the present circumstances of us warming the planet. But at the same time, its beneficial aspects are diminishing because there is not as much glacial snow in the world, period. So,
and there's soon to be even less of it. Oh, indeed.
But it does show you how science builds upon science. Knowledge is gathered, and then you learn new stuff, and you put it out there for people to know what's going on.
A couple of programs ago, we talked about the Republican governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine, vetoing House Bill 68 that restricted medical care for trans youth and also banned transgender athletes from competing in school sports. Governor DeWine had actually listened to doctors and parents of trans kids instead of simply being a right-wing rubber stamp. Well, this past week, the Ohio House of Representatives, aspiring to be a right-wing rubber stamp, voted to override that veto by a vote of 65 to 28. There were cries of shame from the gallery as they voted that way, and the live stream was cut at that point. The Ohio Senate gets to vote on overriding the veto next. The bad guys need a 3/5 majority to override the veto, which is smaller than a 2/3, but I guess that's what they want to do. Ohio Senate President Matt Huffman has said that the Republicans will probably get that number of votes and so override the veto. So it looks like they're going to override this veto here. Jesus. Representative Anita Somani, who is a Democrat, and who had been a gynecologist for more than 30 years before she got into politics, claimed her office received more than 1,500 emails in opposition to that bill. The New York Daily News quotes her as saying, quote, "Trust science, trust the families, the parents, the patients, and the experts who have testified repeatedly that gender-affirming care is a continuum designed to help people achieve their authentic true self," unquote. And she added, quote, "It isn't up to the government to make these decisions, and we need to stay the hell out of the exam room," unquote. This is so typical of the Republicans who claim, we want to get the government away, we want less government, and yet they start getting into things. I mean, the gay liberation movement was constantly saying, get the government out of the bedroom, because they would have laws against same-gender sex practices. And, you know, it's not out in the middle of the street, it's in somebody's house and their home, and they're doing it, and... But the Republicans really hated that. Some of the Democrats were pretty bad about it too, 50 years ago. But they claim they want to have less government, but they want to intrude in the bedroom, in the exam room, and in all parts of your life. Jesus Christ. If they override the veto, they probably will. If they override the veto, that will make Ohio the 23rd state to have restrictions on trans-related care. And, you know, it can be somewhat controversial, but the fact is, it seems to be helping these kids. And not everybody is exactly the same. We had the same fight with the gay liberation movement. We still have the same fight. And, you know, they're saying that, oh, gee whiz, you know, everybody has to be this or that. And they have this binary world that they want to live in, this simplistic world. And they can't say, geez, sometimes people just have this, well, they have a feeling, but they have more than a feeling that they're not the same as everybody else, and they want to stamp that out. They want to have total conformity to what they think things should be. Of course, significant amount of the time, you find out that these same people passing these bad laws are busy doing some of that same stuff themselves. So, oh, God, politics really is a stinky thing, isn't it? And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. As we've mentioned before on the program earlier here, as we record, it's still not raining out. But from the weather reports I've heard, there may be a downpour going on if you're listening to this program over the air on Saturday morning. So we're looking at that and saying, oh boy, we hope no leaks happen. And good luck with it if you have to go out into what sounds like it's going to be a pretty nasty rainstorm. It's a good-sized winter storm, and we're going to get slammed with it. Mostly overnight, but 5 o'clock in the morning, I'm not sure if it's still there or if it's, what do you think?
Well, I believe they were saying that come the dawn, it will be largely over. So,
well, dawn's at 7:20 in
yes,
the morning.
Yes, that's right.
So, yeah, so I think that when you're listening to this program, the pitter-pat of rain will be coming down on you. And it's interesting because we are getting these serious rainstorms one after the other. In 1 week, we're getting two of them. And last week, we had one, and I think we had one before that. The streams and rivers are getting overwhelmed with this, and I'm seeing that New Jersey is just, like, flooded like crazy. And I don't know, what are people going to do? I mean, I can't say this is definitely global warming and climate change, but it might be, in which case this is going to become the regular weather pattern probably for the winter. And if that's the case, then there are places where people are just not going to be able to live there anymore. In New Jersey, what they're doing is they're buying people's houses to get them out of there and make it so that it, you know, there aren't people getting flooded out anymore. But that is an interesting thing of getting a lot of people moved out of an area because it's no longer viable. And Jesus, it's something that has been predicted that there would be floods, because what happens is it's all about energy. There's more energy making more water evaporate from the oceans, and that evaporated water is warmer, and that puts more energy in the storms. The energy in the atmosphere makes for more wind and makes for these huge storms. And we no longer bat an eye at a 1,000-mile-long storm. It used to be very extraordinary. Now we don't bat an eye about that. And we may raise an eyebrow a little bit when we get a 2,000-mile-long storm, which we've seen. But these other things are just regular. We're getting them one after the other. Is this the new climate? And if it is, what are they going to do in certain places? I think there are towns in New Jersey that I don't see how they can exist anymore unless they can find some way to get the water away from them. If you live in a low-lying area, it's very difficult because it's going to – if you're in a low-lying area, the water is going to pool up down there no matter what you do. I had an aunt who lived in New Jersey, and they lived next to a creek. And they lived next to the creek for years and years and years. And then it started flooding. And they said, oh, boy, and they got flooded. And, oh, it was a drag. They had to, you know, fix things and get the insurance for it and do all of that stuff and do repairs. And then it happened again. And it happened again. And eventually they were bought out and they moved away. And so what are they going to do with these towns? I mean, it's bad when you have a few houses near a creek. That's bad. However, when you have like one third or one half of a town that is no longer going to be livable because it's going to get flooded out often, that's going to have an effect on the whole area. And what do you do then? I guess you just have to move. I guess people are being moved by this, just as people from like Central America are being moved to the American border because the climate is too hot for their crops. Yep. And they can't feed themselves anymore. So they say, we got to get out of this place. And where are they going? Oh, let's go up to America where things are wonderful all the time. Well, they're learning about that. But yeah, this is, I can't say it's definitely climate change, but it sure is doing things that were predicted to happen with climate change, and it's certainly causing a lot of problems.
Yeah, we have internal climate refugees now. We have external ones. This is happening all around the world. It's a new world.
Yeah.
And yeah, what do we do? And how do we get governments to pay attention? Because for everything that's gone on up until this point, 2024, I don't think it's sunk in completely.
Oh, there's still all these people, especially politicians, denying climate change. They're adamant about, oh, this is just a left-wing shibboleth or something. This is just a left-wing thing people are doing. Well, no, it's real. Then the climate change is happening. In some cases, we can absolutely see it. Speaking of snow before, we can see Greenland pumping huge amounts of gallons of water per second into the Atlantic Ocean as the glacier melts. We see it when large chunks of ice break off from Antarctica and start floating around in the oceans. And those are the big things that, you know, it's kind of obvious. But this other thing of, yeah, the storms are now causing this flooding all the time. What are you going to do about it? You also have parts of Queens where they get flooded a lot. And they're going to have a problem, too. They're already trying to do something about the subways because the subways have been getting flooded for 100 years, more than 100 years, because they're below ground. For instance, in Brooklyn, on the IRT and one of the BMT lines, the tunnels are sharing their underground space with underground rivers or streams. And so they've always had a whole lot of water running through them. And that's why in the tracks, in the center of the tracks, there's a trough for the water to run in. And then there's a drain at the end, and they have pumps to pump the water someplace else. And so we've had this for a while, but now we're getting this thing of low-lying areas. And how can they do anything about that? Is there an alternative to abandoning those spaces? Can they fill it up somehow with dirt or rock and make it so it can be land again permanently? Or is this going to be a semi-swamp on a permanent basis? It's not something I have an answer to, but it's Certainly something somebody needs to figure out about. Oh, boy. Yeah, it's a new world, but not a brave new world. Donnie Bonespur Trump is in the news, of course. He's always in the news these days. He's got so many things going on. Oh, all these things going on. Many of them very negative. And maybe all of them very negative. So he had been on trial in New York for fraud and bad business practices and cheating and lying, which is something he does a lot of. And so that trial has been going on for months. And this week it ended finally. And the lawyers for Trump said, Mr. Trump wants to deliver the closing argument. You know, he's going to give the closing argument. He's not a lawyer. He can't pay attention to anything. He has a serious attention deficit disorder problem. And so he's not going to be able to do that. So the judge said, well, he can make his comments, but you have to follow these rules. And there are, you know, not outrageous rules. The restrictions for what Trump could do were things like don't personally attack the judge. Don't personally attack the clerk in the room. Don't attack the New York State legal system. Don't go attacking other people. And don't attack the attorney general. Stuff like that. Pretty basic. You know, you can, if you're going to deliver a closing argument, yeah, you could refrain from that and do a closing argument. But, of course, the thing is, one, this looks like an open and shut case. And two, it's Trump who thinks he doesn't have to follow any rules. This is the yutz who is before the Supreme Court with a lawsuit that says, as president, he could do whatever he wanted. Now, I have to say, I was very glad this week to see that one of the justices, one of the judges on a federal appeals court said the same stuff I was saying when he first brought this nonsense up months and months ago. Oh, yeah? So you're immune from anything you did as president. So that means if you have somebody murdered, it's okay. And this is, of course, especially bad when you consider he was talking about, you know, getting rid of political rivals at times. Oh, Jesus Christ. And saying that would be okay. That's how his mind works. And so they actually brought up exactly what I had been saying. You know, you could have that. Which, of course, if the Supreme Court rules in favor of him, Biden could have Trump assassinated and have half the Republican Party put up against the wall, and that would be okay, right? So also, in that case, Biden could immediately upon that ruling coming down in favor that Trump cannot be held accountable for anything he did as president, Biden could then have two-thirds of the Supreme Court executed summarily out on the steps of the Supreme Court building. It would be okay. They said so. Well, I suspect that even this horrible right-wing Supreme Court is not going to go with Trump on that particular item. It would really be the end of what we think of as America, as what everybody ever thought of as America. And so anyway, he says, okay, to Trump's lawyers, okay, he wants to deliver his closing argument. All right, we can do that. Anyway, so what happens is they say, you know, do you agree to this? And they didn't agree to it. And they said, oh, we need time. So he gave them, he pushed the deadline back, a number of times. And then on, what was it, the day before the end of the whole thing, he says, okay, you missed it. You didn't do it. He's not going to give the closing argument. And so, okay, the lawyers will just have to do it all. And then they started pressing him again on it, and the judge, Judge Engoron, oh, I think he made a mistake. And he started relenting and saying, well, will he agree to these restrictions? And I don't think he got a real answer to that, but then he let Trump go anyway. Now, the lawyers did the legal argument, but they had Trump get up. What's the first thing he does in what's being described as a stream of consciousness where he just runs his mouth nonstop? He attacks the judge, he attacks the people, he attacks the attorney general. He does everything he was supposed to not do. And finally, the judge said, all right, enough of that. Shut up, sit down. And so, yeah, he got to play his little game. I mean, you can't trust Trump. This should show everybody you cannot trust Trump or people like him. I know people like that who will do that and say, oh, yeah, I won't do this. And then they do it. And this is just bad stuff. But there you go. I want to see him in prison stripes.
At this point, I should say that this is WBAI New York. The program is Back of the Book. He is R. Paul Martin, and I am Radio's Pickles of the North.
Oh, it's the WBAI Back of the Book pitching train. Is there anybody on that pitching train? Yes, it's the pitching hobos. The pitching hobos are here. The pitching hobos are asking you to go to your phone, dial 1-212-209-2950. And when they pick up at the call center, please tell them you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And a BAI buddy, that's the name we have for our sustaining membership here at WBAI. And what it means is that if you call up and tell them you want to become a BAI buddy, by being a BAI buddy, you contribute to WBAI on a monthly basis. And what happens is you give them your credit card or debit card number. You tell them how much you want to donate. It can be $10 a month, $15 a month, $20 a month, more if you want to. And you can also make a one-time lump sum donation. And they will also ask you what day of the month you would like your card charged for this. And you tell them, because you want it to be at a convenient time. You don't want to end up having your credit card overdrawn or something. And so that's how that'll work. And once you get all of that done, you will become a BAI buddy. And every month, you will contribute that $10, $15, $20 or more every month to WBAI. And that will help us a lot. Again, the BAI Buddy program is very helpful for WBAI because people who want to contribute get to do it on a regular basis. And that allows management to say, okay, we're getting X amount of money a month. And we can count on that, which is a lot better than we used to have it where we would pitch, we'd get a pile of money, not a big enough pile of money, but a pile of money, and then we would watch the amount of money coming in wane as time went by. And it was unpredictable. You couldn't tell who was going to send in what, when, and all of this. Oh, boy. In the days before everybody had a credit card or debit card, it was really bad because it was all waiting on people's checks to arrive. That was crazy stuff. But anyway, if you become a BAI buddy, you'll be helping WBAI to survive. And we need to survive. We need to have the money coming in so that we can show other people, especially people in Pacifica, that WBAI can become self-sustaining. We need to do that. How that happens is up to you. We say we're listener-sponsored. We are. You are the sponsor. Or you can become the sponsor by calling 1-212-209-2950 and saying you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And How many places can you be a sponsor of a radio station by calling up a phone number? Yeah, you just call 1-212-209-2950 and you become a sponsor of a radio station. And you'll be keeping all of this going. And again, we need folks to call up and say that they want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. It's important to mention Back of the Book because management does keep a tally, a rough tally, of who's raising how much money. And they do know who has some number of BAI buddies. That they really apparently do keep track of. On this program, we have three BAI buddies. It would be good if we had more than that. You can help us have more than that by calling 1-212-209-2950. And we do various things on this program. And if you value some of this stuff, maybe all the stuff that we do on this program, the way to keep on having the program happen is to call us up and pledge. Become a BAI buddy by calling 1-212-209-2950. It's as simple as that. If enough people don't call that number, well, I think we could go away. I'm not just talking about Back of the Book. I'm talking about WBAI. And as I've mentioned before, there are people with these proposals to basically rent out WBAI's signal from midnight to 6 a.m. 7 days a week. That would wipe out all of these overnight radio programs. So if you're listening to this live, that means you're not going to hear it anymore if something else is in here. And I don't know what they'll put in here if they do that. But those are real proposals people have made. They're not happening yet, but if things get dire enough, and they may, that would be a proposal that would be thought of. You can stop that. You can keep all of these strange radio programs on the air by calling 1-212-209-2950 and pledging some amount of money. Again, 1-212-209-2950. Please, please call that number and say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. If you do that, it will be so good for all of us. And, you know, we do the science stuff a lot. We've been talking about climate change on this program since the 80s when people said, global warming, what's that? And, you know, boy, oh boy, people didn't get it then at all. Some people don't get it at all today. Even though it's happening, even though if you're listening to us on the air, it may be happening right now on top of you. Ah, batten down those hatches. 1-212-209-2950. Please, if you can call that number at all, it would really help us. We're at a handicap here. We can't see who's calling in because we have to pre-record this. I don't know if we're going to be able to stop that someday and go back in live again. I'm not sure. But right now, we're not there, so we can't see what's happening while we're pitching. We can't see if anybody's calling in. So if you do become a BAI buddy or make a donation, please write to me and let me know. I am rpm at glib.com. That's rpm@glib.com. And let me know you did it. Okay, final time. 1-212-209-2950. Please call the call center at that number now and become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And, oh, we'll thank you if you do. That has been it for Back of the Book. Coming up next is...
Everything Old is New Again, Again, with David Kenny.
Dave Kenny, again. And we're scheduled to be back next week. We just got our new 52-week schedule. I will be posting that up on my website at glib.com. So you can look at it and see when we're preempted for big fundraising events. You should watch out for all the rain coming in. And above all, remember what that... Not that thrilled that he was right that global warming was coming and was going to change the climate, Dormouse said.
light in your head and dead on your feet. Well, another crazy day. You'll drink the night away and forget about everything. This city desert makes you feel so cold. It's got so many people, but it's got no soul. And it's taking you so long to find out you were wrong when you thought it held everything. You used to think that it was so easy. You used to say that it was so easy. But you're trying now. Another year and then you'll be happy. Just one more.
We at WBAI are reaching out to you, our listeners, volunteers, and members, to step up with us as we work toward complete stability for our Pacifica network and WBAI radio station. If every one of you within the sound of my voice go to WBAI.org and sign up to be a BAI buddy, we will be on the way to accomplish all that we dream is possible for us and for our influence on the world. And we all know the world needs WBAI Pacifica. So step up with us. As the numbers of buddy subscribers rise, the closer we come to reducing our fund drives, securing our antenna, and being able to find a stable home. That's the BAI buddy at WBAI.org.
I'm David Rothenberg. I joined up with WBAI not long after Marconi discovered the wireless. If you tune in on any Saturday, that's the name of my program, you'll hear some good music, commentary covering politics, theater, movies, books, and a word or two about the criminal justice system. Actually, it's whatever's on my mind. And there's usually a guest or two to liven things up. Good start for the weekend, so I've been told. Saturday mornings from 8 to 10 a.m. Oh, and I often have tickets for Broadway and off-Broadway shows. You can get to see a play and support listener-sponsored BAI at the same time. I'm looking forward to your stopping by.
I can hear you listening already.
Oh, baby, let's have a party.
Let's have a party.
Let's all begin.
Funny, this radio hasn't been working very well the past 2 days.
Peter, where do you live?
I'm glad you asked me.
It's a secret place. Please tell me.
All right, I tell you.
I wonder whatever became of it.
Now, will you tell me what happened on Saturday?
All Mixed Up with Peter Beauchamp. Saturday afternoon here on WBAI.
That should be time for our favorite program.
Yes, just about time.
What would you do if I went off the air?
We kill ourselves!
He's cool. He's exciting.
This dude is bad.
He's sexy. Okay, maybe not. He's a bad mother.
Shut your mouth.
He's Tony Ryan on WBAI New York 99.5 FM. He's got both.
Break him with the sound of the trumpet.
Can you dig it?
Yeah, I can dig it, yeah.
He's got classic soul. He's okay. I can't think of anything else.
I'm Tony Ryan. Tune in Saturday nights, 10 p.m. to 1 a.m.
Soul Central Station with Tony Ryan.
99.5 WBAI.
Peace and prosperity, WBAI family. The next WBAI Advisory Board meeting will take place on Sunday, January 21st at 1 p.m. The Community Advisory Board meeting is a call-in meeting hosted by Maestro. The call-in number is 619-309-1058, and the PIN number is 641-711. All are welcome. Again, the next WBAI Community Advisory Board meeting will take place on Sunday at 1 p.m., January 21st. The call-in number is 619-309-1058, and the PIN number is 641711. You can find the call-in information at kpftx.org. Participating in the WBAI Advisory Board meeting is another way to support our great station. Thank you.
This is Phil Donahue, and you're listening to WBAI New York 99.5.